welcome to part three of our series, Frequency. And right now, I just want to pause, and as I always do at this point in our service, and welcome all those that are with us online. So glad to have our online campus with us. Come on, let's give it up for all those that are watching online. And let me just say to our online campus that if you would avail yourself of it, we have message notes there available to you that you can download and follow along with us. And for those of us in-house, if you'll take your worship guide inside there, there are some notes that you can follow along, some fill-in for you there, just to make today's message a little more relevant for you. And I'm really excited about what God is doing in this season of our 21 days of prayer. God does still speak today, and that's what we're talking about in this series, and that is that, you know, God's always speaking. The problem is not that he's not speaking. The problem is that many times we're not listening, or we're on a different frequency, or there's distractions, and there's noise that interferes where we really can't hear him clearly. And so 21 days helps us just kind of push some things aside and be able to tune in and hear the voice of God and what he's speaking specifically to each one of us, and what he's saying to us as a church, as a body. I also think it's a great way to begin as we looking at the fall beginning. Class starts back this week at UNC Charlotte. Any UNC Charlotte students in the house? Come on. We got some UNC Charlotte students. Yeah. Welcome back. I want to say welcome home. I know you're thinking this is not home, but we like to think that this is your home away from home. And so glad that you're here and excited for the fall season. Fall season, you know, it brings different things. Yes, it brings football. I actually go across the campus. I have season tickets across the street. I love the football team, and I'm rooting for the football team, but I go for halftime and pregame. The marching band, Pride of Niner Nation marching band. But fall also, you know, is known to bring a harvest. They talk about there's a harvest in the fall. But I believe that's not only true in the natural, but it's true in the spiritual. And one of the best ways to prepare for that is that we've spent a season of praying and hearing the voice of God and make sure, you know, we're plowing up, as the old farmer would say, plowing up some fallow ground, some hard crusty ground, and we sow into that, but we have to water it with some prayers. And so we're believing, though, that we're gonna see a great harvest. And what that simply means is people coming to Christ. Simply put, God's got some lost kids, and he cares about them. You know, if you had a bunch of kids and you lost one of them, you wouldn't say, well, I've already got three left, you know, so, you know, you go after the fourth one because that one's lost, and that's what God does. He cares about his lost kids. That's what we're about as a church. We're about connecting people to God and seeing God change their life forever. It's a great mission to be on. It's a joy. It's just a fun thing that we're into, and that's just seeing people change people's lives and being a part of something a lot bigger than we are. I want to jump right into this series that's found. We're using this as our theme verse for this series. So let me open up this installment here. Look with me, if you got your Bibles or your devices, whatever you got there, devices or vices, whatever you call it, you know, and you want to look at that, or we got up here on the screen for you. Found in John chapter 10 and verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And so he is still speaking. And it says that when he has brought out all his own, he opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because, look at this, they know his voice. They know his voice. It goes on to say, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. If any of you has spent any time or has observed this, maybe even online, and if you haven't personally, I've seen videos where sheep, they'll respond to the voice of their particular shepherd. Another shepherd calls, they won't respond. But when their shepherd calls, they know his voice, and they immediately respond. And so it is, Jesus is explaining here this analogy, as it is with us and God. God speaks, and listen to this, he speaks specifically, he speaks individually. And we know, well, you know, God kind of speaks to people generally, but he does. He actually speaks specifically to us. And it's very dynamic. And that I want us to get this, and that is that there's other voices, but we don't respond to those other voices, but when we know the voice of God, God calls us to respond to that. And today, I want to just share with you, today's a very personal side of this series, probably the most personal side of this series. Next week, we're going to get into how, you know, we can distinguish his voice, kind of the litmus test, whether you know whether it's God speaking to you or it's pizza you ate the night before, you know, or, you know, what, yeah, but we're going to break that down next week. But today, we're going to talk about the why and the how of God speaking to us and what that looks like. And actually, some people today think that God really doesn't speak specifically. He speaks generally. He spoke years ago. He doesn't speak anymore. We've got his word. He speaks through that. And that's true. That's one way. But I wanted to show you today that God actually still is speaking to us today. Dallas Willard said this. He said, actually, if God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God if God really doesn't speak. But the fact of the matter is God does speak. And he does speak to us. God isn't always the God, though. Let me just explain this. God isn't always the God who is represented by religion or the church. And sometimes we've got the wrong idea of what God is speaking and how he speaks to us. And we've oftentimes misrepresented him as a church, or religion has misrepresented who God is. But God is a God who cares about us, and God speaks to us, and he's not mad at us, and he's not critical. He's not far away. He's close, and he's personal. He wants to you to have this personal relationship with you. It's like, I've used this analogy before. I think some of us think of God as the guy behind the curtain, you know, Wizard of Oz. Anybody remember Wizard of Oz? You know, and it's like, all the smoke and shock and awe, and you know, what do you want? You know, I just want to go back to, you know, I want to find my way back to Kansas City. Well, go bring me the witch's broom and come. You know, or we think God's mad at us. He's a big God with a big hammer, and he wants to hit us on the head, and he's mad at us because we've messed up. Let me tell you something. God loves us. I want to show us that today. I think the problem is many times that Christianity has a branding problem, and it's not how the Bible describes God. And you need to know this, and that is that God is in love with you. God is in love with you beyond what I could ever explain. I want to talk about why God speaks. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, when we're talking about the announcement of Jesus being born, it says that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, the name was given that his name was to be called Jesus, but it says that they would call him. In other words, they're going to nickname him. The people are actually going to call him something different, and they're calling him Emmanuel, which means God with us, and that this is a God that's different than the God we knew before, that's far removed, and some God that's untouchable. This is a God that is actually with us. He's a personal God. He is God Emmanuel. I want us to see him that way. And the way you see God is very important, because how we see God is going to relate to how that you connect with him on a personal level, right? It's going to make a difference in your life. So how we see God, he's a very personal God. And the why is this. Write this down. God speaks to us. Why does he speak to us? God speaks, first of all, to facilitate friendship. To facilitate friendship. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, when God was speaking to Moses, it's described this way. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And can I just tell you that that's always the relationship God's wanted to have with us. It's not just a big God with a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts and live up to them or else you're banished forever. No, God is a God in the very beginning when he walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the cool of the day in the garden, desiring to have relationship with them. It was when they chose a different way that they separated themselves from God. But God always wanted to have relationship with them. In fact, one time when God was speaking to Moses, his desire was that he spoke directly to the people. And one of the darkest days, I think, in Israel's history, biblically speaking, was the day when it came when they said, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to hear from him. You talk to him for us. And so then it was Moses going up to the top of the mountain. It wasn't God speaking directly to the people, but it was through Moses. God's always wanted to have a relationship with us. He sent Jesus so he could have conversation where Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Come on, everybody. He's a God that wants to have relationship with us. He wants us to be with him for forever. In fact, I could break this down, but in the what we call the Lord's Supper, but in those days it was called the Passover, okay, when Jesus broke bread before he was to be crucified, there was, if you look in Jewish customs, there's four cups there, and the fourth cup is the cup of fulfillment, and it was at that cup that Jesus said, I will not partake of this cup until you're with me in heaven. So in other words, he's saying, I'm not going to be fulfilled until you're with me forever. Come on, he's a personal God, everybody. I mean, that's good news. That's good news. But God wants to speak to us face to face. That means he just wants to have a conversation with us. He wants to have a friendship with us. It's important that we understand that so that when we go to him and we have a conversation with him, we talk to him as a friend talks to a friend. So, I think sometimes we think it's got to be we think God's from England. You know, we think he was King James. No, I'm sorry, but God wasn't from England. So we approach God. Oh, God, if thou wouldest, couldest, I wish that you wouldest, helpest me as thouest. And God doesn't, listen, just talk to him like you talk to somebody on the golf course or in the mall. Come on. God wants to just have a conversation with you. And it's so important. Sometimes when we pray, and it's good to have structure in our prayer. We have all kind of different patterns or prayer that we use in our 21 days. And we have a book. You can go online, actually, to our website. And you can download resources there. We'll tell you different types of prayers that we see in Scripture, the tabernacle prayer and the Lord's Prayer, and different ways we pray. And it's good to have structure. But can I tell you, sometimes God just wants to take a walk with you. He wants you to get out of the house and take a walk with him and say, hey, God, that's a good-looking tree. Good job. I mean, sunset. Look at that sunset. That is so awesome. I mean, God, you did. Wow. God just wants to have a personal relationship with you when you're walking in the cool of the day or wherever you are. Maybe it's in the heat of the day that God can talk with you and have conversation with you. He just wants to facilitate friendship. Look, another thing is that God speaks to give guidance. Write that one down. God speaks to give guidance. Proverbs 3:6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. You see, God sees the dangers. And there's a little tension in that because the way that we walk, we think that's the right direction. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be walking that direction. But there's times where God comes and he says, no, actually, you're not going in the right way. I need to give you some guidance here. There's some things that you don't see, but God does see those things. I think one of the hardest things as a pastor is talking to a parent who has lost a child. And I don't understand. And usually always the question comes is why? Why did this child have to die so young? They had their whole life ahead of them. I don't understand that. But what we got to come to realize is that there's a perspective that God sees that we don't see. There's one scripture that talks about how that he keeps us from the evil that is to come. He protects us from that. We don't know what's down the road, but we trust God knowing that he's got a master plan, a higher perspective, greater than we can see. See ourselves. There's some danger sometimes that we do not see, but God is one that comes to keep us on track. And the why is that he is a good God and he cares about us and he guides us and directs us. Another thing that we see is that God speaks to provide perspective, and that he has that we don't currently have. And I just want to teach you something right here, if I may. Not everything that you're seeing is what's going on. Not everything that you see in the natural is the full reality of what's going on. There's another dynamic. There's an eternal dynamic going on that God has a perspective of what's going on, but perhaps we don't have the full understanding of it. And God wants to reveal some things to us, and there is another perspective. There's a supernatural realm. God doesn't want us just to see things on the surface. The Bible talks about, there's a scripture that says, there's no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them through his Spirit to us. So God wants to reveal things to us. But here's what we know. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith, not by sight. That's why we can't just always go by what we see. We can't just operate on surface level, but there is something else going on. So we need his perspective. So I would just say, as students are coming back, UNC Charlotte, we need guidance, because there may be some that has declared majors. I talked to a couple people this morning already. You got declared majors, and you know where you're going. You got direction. But even along the way, there's going to be some things that's going to, it's not just all straight uphill, is it? I mean, it's not just all even. There's some highs, there's some lows, there's some things, and we have to keep perspective. There's going to be some things you see around you as you go through, whether it's work-related, whether it's your education. There's going to be some things that we're going to need to navigate. But God sees things that we don't see. He sees ahead of us. So let me put it this way. I would encourage us that we put listening ahead of looking. Put listening ahead of looking. Don't just trust what we hear, but trust what the Spirit is saying to us. I heard a story of football team, Wisconsin Badgers, and they were having a football, and they weren't doing too well. Things weren't going too well. And inevitably, it seemed like every time there was a bad play, though, the fans were cheering. I mean, the Wisconsin fans were cheering, and it was kind of causing some confusion on the field. Like, we're making bad mistakes, bad plays, and our own fans are cheering that. What's going on there? But they came to find out that a lot of the fans were listening in their ear to the Milwaukee Bruins, and they were winning, and they were like cheering, you know. So they were celebrating not what they were seeing. Come on, they were responding to not what they were seeing, but they were responding to what they were hearing, okay? And I think maybe it needs to be that way in our relationship with God. We need to respond to what we're hearing from God, not just what we're seeing, especially in the natural. I believe that we're living in a time, everybody, of great confusion on this earth. And there's a lot of issues going on in our day. And you don't have to go any further than your phone to see it, okay? There's a lot of hate, a lot of racism, a lot of bigotry, a lot of things going on. But I just want to declare as a church, I want to make sure we understand this as a church. The only supremacy is the supremacy of Jesus Christ. So listen, hate, racism, white supremacy, any supremacy other than the supremacy of Jesus Christ is of the devil. Can we just be clear about that? Come on, everybody. Just want to be clear about that. But at the same time, I'm not going to be drawn or pulled into the ugliness of it all either. Okay? We have a higher agenda than the agendas of this world, and it's the agenda of the kingdom of God. I heard somebody talking about skin color the other day. I said, what difference does skin color matter? The kingdom of God is not about skin color. It's about lost kids that need to find Jesus. Amen? That's what we're here to do. We're here to make a difference in people's lives for eternity's sake. I remember the story. I'm reminded of the story of Esther in the Bible, who her people, the Jewish people, were about to be eliminated off the face of the earth. There was somebody that had an evil plot to destroy all her people, and she recognized the position God put her into, and she said, perhaps God has called me for such a time as this to the kingdom of God. That was actually spoken into her life. Perhaps this is why you're here, Esther. Can I tell you, I believe that we're here, church. Come on. We're here. I'm trying not to get emotional here, but we're here at Cross Point for a reason. God didn't drop us here right across from UNC Charlotte in the middle of a neighborhood that I'm very much involved in, that I know needs Jesus, for just no reason at all. We have a purpose, and for such a time as this, God has called us to reach the harvest. Amen? I told my wife yesterday, I said, I don't exactly know how, but I just know we're going to impact this campus over here at UNC Charlotte for good, everybody, for good, and see lives change for eternity's sake. This is a critical place that God's put us at, a pivotal point in people's lives where they're making decisions, where they're making career decisions, and their path is going to change from here. And from here they go, it's a turning point. Come on, everybody. It's a cross point. It's a place where they're going to turn, and they're going to go to the far reaches of the earth, and who knows where they take the message from here, but we're going to communicate the message that God loves you. Amen. Can I just also tell you, as a church, we're going to be a church that when you come here, you're not going to get beat up and just pointed to the rules and said, do better next week and come back and I hope you get it straight this week. No, we're a church that's going to speak to you about the love of Jesus and lead you into a relationship with you, with Him. And when you're in a relationship with Him, all those other things will take care of themselves. Amen? Okay. I just feel like a little preacher this morning. But, and can I also, let me, while I'm on it, let me just say, in the social media realm, I was actually, my mother is 85, and my dad's 83, and they may be watching. I don't know. Shout out to Mom and Dad if they're watching from Orlando, Florida today, but sometimes they watch me later, but they go to an early service and then catch their service and our service. But my mother was talking about, you know, she puts on there, she had a bad fall a couple weeks ago when we were down visiting her, and she shares those things. And she says, I understand we all share our aches and our pains, and because it's a good thing, because people can pray for us and all that. She said, but you know what? People need hope. People need hope. You know, instead of us disparaging everybody and using this as a weapon and as a tool to go after people, I encourage you to respond and wait and put a pause on it and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and listen to Him before you respond. Come on and give some hope to people, right? I mean, this could be an instrument of hope, social media, right? So let's break this down. I was kind of laying out for you the why of God speaks to us. Let's get into the ways that God speaks. Now, God speaks in many, many ways. We could give you a dozen ways that God speaks. You know, we see in Scripture He speaks in lightnings and thunderings, and He'll speak through prophets and through pastors, and He'll speak through our pain and our suffering. There's many ways He speaks, but I want to just zero in this morning. I kind of touched on this last week. I want to zero in on the fact of that God actually whispers to us. I shared with you last week, I think that one of the reasons He whispers to us, it speaks of intimacy. You got to be close to hear somebody whisper. But God whispers to us. I believe He does this all day long. I believe He speaks to us, continually speaks to us. I want to read you a scripture that's found actually in First Kings of Elijah the prophet, who had just defeated the prophets of Baal, and after that great victory, depression set in. He felt like everybody was against him. They were out to kill him. He was ready to die. He was so depressed, and God was wanted to speak to him. And so, when he came to an end of himself, here's the way the Bible records this. It says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. One translation calls it a still, small voice. I want us to learn to recognize the voice of God, that still voice of God. I want to give you four areas. Number one, write this down. He whispers encouragement. All day long, I believe it happens. When we wake up, God encourages us. When the enemy comes and lies to us, God's whispering to us. When people come against us, God's whispering to us. He's right there. Again, I want to remind you, I just feel like I need to reiterate this morning. He's not fussing at us. He's not mad at us. He doesn't say, hey, get to church more, read your Bible more, you low down, sorry, you know. No. God, if you listen to His voice, He loves us. He encourages us. He comes to bring encouragement. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says this, "The Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our heart and tells us," look at this, "that we are God's children." He's reminding us that we're His. He sees you and I as his family. Isaiah 55 and 3 in the Message says this, pay attention, come close now, listen carefully, and that's important, listen carefully to my, I love this word, life-giving. We've adopted that as a church. We want to be a life-giving church. To my life-giving, life-nourishing words, I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David, sure, solid, enduring love. So he says, listen, I want to, my message to you is life-giving. It's life-nourishing. Those are my words to you. So if that's God's word, I believe as a church, and I just want to encourage you, if you're new here today, I just want to encourage you. This is a place where you're not going to hear me fussing or saying, give more, serve more, do more, come to the altar. Get it right. Yeah, there's a place to respond to the message. There's a place and time to come to the altar and seek the Lord and go all in. But here's what I want us to understand, and that is that, again, he knows what you did yesterday, and he still loves you. He cares about you. He gives everything for you. And I want is to listen to him, because if we'll listen to him, he wants you to hear him saying this, you're my child. You are my child. You're my child. And any parents that's got children, you know, there's some days, you know, you're not sure if that is your child, you know. You want to disown that child, you know. I want to talk to that one, you know what I'm saying? But can I just tell you, no matter whether they make bad choices or not, they're still your child. You still love them. I tell my kids, you know, they both boys, we think we got them mixed up at the hospital, okay? I mean, they're just brilliant, you know, they're straight A's. We're not sure where these kids came from because we can't take any credit, or at least I can't anyway. Maybe it's Kim, okay? But I'm just saying, but I tell them, if you come home with straight F's, I'd still love you the same. Wouldn't be as happy about it, but I'm just saying. I mean, my son's like, my youngest son is a rising senior this year, and the other one graduated from UNC Charlotte with honors in architecture. Everybody, I'm so thankful for him. I wasn't asking for that, but anyway. And he's competing to be the valedictorian, maybe. We'll see what happens anyway, the youngest one. But I want to tell you, I've told him there's nothing you can't do to keep me from loving you. And also get up in their business and say, I'm your dad, deal with it. So I'm in your business. I'm going to be in your business. So I'm just accept it, deal with it. I'm your dad. But I also will tell you, if they made bad choices, I would chase them to the end of the earth. I will never stop chasing after them because that's my child. Can I tell you, that's the way God feels about us? We're his kids, and he loves us with an everlasting love. He cares about us. Everything he wants for us is good. In fact, all of the Ten Commandments, I was on the light rail yesterday. I heard somebody talking about the Ten Commandments. And I'm thinking, the Ten Commandments were not, none of them were written for God. I don't know why I'm holding my phone. Maybe this is what I need to be holding. The Ten Commandments, because I have my phone on there, okay? I mean, my Bible on there. The Ten Commandments are written for you and me. Every one of them is for our good. Everything God had, all his laws are for our good. Come on, everybody. Everything he wants for us is good. It's not to give us a hard time. It's to give us the best of time. Come on, everybody. He also wants you to hear him saying, I love you. I love you. He also wants you to hear him you hear him saying, I am proud of you. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't know if he could be proud. Maybe he loves me, but he can't be proud of the things I've done. Well, here's the deal. He doesn't see you through the lens of what you're doing. He sees you through the lens of what you're becoming. He does. Come on, you do that with your kids. Your kids mess up. You say, that's not who you are. That's a bad behavior, but that's not who you are. You're better than that. Come on. That's not who you are. Don't let your friends tell you who you are. Don't let your circumstances tell you who you are. You're better than that. I see what you are. You're gonna be awesome. You're going to do great things. Come on. You're gonna have an awesome life. You're going to do amazing. You're going to lead. You're not going to follow. I saw somebody's shirt today. It said lead. I loved it. I said, I like your shirt. You're going to lead. You're not going to follow. You're not going to follow those things that are trying to pull you down. You're going to lead. You're going to follow Jesus. You're going to be a champion for Christ. Come on. That's how God sees us. He's proud of us. Number two, he whispers warnings. give you a little Christianese here. We used to say it this way, I got a check in my spirit. What is that? The Holy Spirit, God, he speaks to us and warns us of things. Acts 16 records some activity this way. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Oh, we wanted to go to Asia. We should go to Asia. We shouldn't even preach it. But the Holy Spirit said, now's not the right time. You might get killed over there right now, you know. So he warned them. There was something happening. Then verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So there was some warnings there, some checks there. There's some checks that God puts in our life at times. Well, I love that person. Yeah, but that may not be the right person for you. But my emotion says this, yes, but I think I know better. Let me give you the right word in that area. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. For some of us, it may be that you're married and there's a little thing going on there, and it's not there yet, but it could get there, and you're flirting, and the Holy Spirit comes and says, you ought not be doing that, because that's not going to lead you in the right place. Some of us, it may be a secret in our life. I mean, my prayer even in this message, I'm speaking, but I'm praying that you're not just hearing me speaking, but the Lord speaking, where there's a secret that no one knows about that is going to cause you problems. And as long as it's a secret, you know, and you're the only one that knows it, can I just tell you, you're in a dangerous place. And I'm not saying that you divulge your secret to everybody, but if somebody doesn't know, you're in a dangerous place. You need to find somebody. That's why we love small groups. Come on. That's why we love small groups right here. Students, I encourage you, get into a small group. We're going to have an open fair in 2 weeks, and it's going to be a kickoff day, and you're going to be able to shop some groups and get in a group. And if we don't have the right group, guess what? You can lead a small group. We'll show you how. In fact, there's training today with Pastor Steve. Get you in a small group, because our small groups are designed, listen, to get you in relationship with somebody, because God uses relationships to bring healing in our lives. God, listen, God forgives, but people heal. Well, wait a minute. God heals. Yes, he does, but he heals through people. That's his design. That's the way he's designed it. He says, pray for one another that you may be healed. You need to get into a relationship where you can talk to somebody. And the great thing happens, not just within the group of the meeting, but afterwards on the front lawn when you're leaving and you grab somebody and say, hey, can I tell you something? I'm not who everybody thinks I am. I got some things going on I need to talk to somebody about. And that's where growth starts happening. That's where change starts happening. Come on, right? That's what it's all about, because real life change happens in the context of real authentic relationships. So get into a small group where somebody can help you, where you can begin to grow. Because God will speak even through those places. He speaks warnings. And I believe he's speaking things like this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sometimes it's like you need to stop. Before you hit send on that thing, you need to read it and go, and the Holy Spirit says, I wouldn't send that. Come on. I wouldn't post that. Think it through. Well, I have a right and I want to vent. Yeah, but you know what? People are following you. And you may cause somebody to stumble. Come on, I'm just pastoring right here. Is that okay? Will you allow me? Okay. So I pray that we'd be a people that would, come on, I got it around on a wristband here. Pray first. Let prayer be your first response, not your last resort. So before you send the email, before you go into that meeting, before you make that major decision, come on, allow God to speak to you. Listen to his voice. So for others, it may be in the secret. And let somebody in, as I was sharing. And for another thing he might be saying is get help. Get help. You know, let somebody help you. Say, I need help. And allow somebody to speak into your life. Isaiah 30 and verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So it's that voice, God's speaking to you directly in our life. How many knows God speaks that way? Amen? Just trying to help us hear the voice of God. Now, number 3, he whispers direction. Direction. Again, it may be having to do with your decision as far as a major at UNC Charlotte. It may be a decision in your work, in your home. He helps us and gives us direction. Here's what I would say to that. Involve him in the process. Don't just make up your mind and intellectually and by what's around you or whatever you're serving. involve God in the process. Luke 2 and 22, it says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. God will move us. He'll give us direction. Acts 20 and 22 says, now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I don't know. I just know I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been compelled by the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been, really directed by the Holy Spirit? I mean, a few years back, I felt this compelling to go into this neighborhood, to an area that just was impoverished in our neighborhood, a little area here. And we just cut church off quick, and we went over there, and we began to minister. But we had it planned out. We didn't preach at them. We just fed them. We loved them. We cared about them. But I remember before that event, every time I thought about it, I began to cry, began to weep. I got filled up with emotion. I realized, oh, my goodness, this isn't my idea. This is the Holy Spirit is compelling us to do that. And we were in a situation at that time where we were kind of just locked up. Nothing seemed to be working. We were trying to get into this building, couldn't get into this building. And when we did that and began to minister, God just broke everything open for us. We were able to get into this building. We had people come. We saw their lives change. We've seen them move on since then. But I want to tell you, God wants to give us direction in our lives. And sometimes he's speaking this to us. Sometimes he's saying, slow down. I mean, just slow down. Write that down somewhere on your notes there. Slow down. It might be just, you know, you're moving too fast. Ease up. Slow down and listen. To others, it may be the opposite. It may be step it up. Do it now. Do it now. It may be the growth track. Maybe you've been hearing about the growth track around here, and now's the day. Today's the day you say, hey, I'm just going to step up. I'm going to do it now. Maybe God's speaking that to you. And by the way, our growth track, it runs every Sunday. It's four parts. First Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. One, two, three, four. And you don't have to start in one. You can start today. You can start anywhere on the track. Just get them all in. It's a process where we just help you discover your purpose and how God's designed you. Two great times in your life. One is when you're born. Second is when you figure out why you're born, right? And help you with that. Do it now. It may be something that you know has been in your heart, but you've been reluctant to do what, and God's saying, do it now. It may be that God's saying, take the next step, whatever that looks for you. Take that next step in your relationship with the Lord. Let me give you this last one, number four. He whispers dreams. He whispers dreams. I love this one. Let me put it to you this way. He'll put something inside of you that you never dreamt of, that you could do. Sometimes it's big dreams, but he'll put something inside of you. Job 33 says this, for God speaks again and again. He speaks in dreams and in visions of the night. He'll speak to you. He speaks to you in those ways. I believe he's saying this, though. In these last days, God needs to be speaking to us because there's a world that needs to hear his voice. Come on, somebody. There's a world that needs to hear his voice. And you might ask the question, and I might be doing a series coming up soon on this regarding the last days. Are we living in the last days? But Acts chapter 2:17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I'll fall into the old man category, okay? I dream the dreams. Young people can see the visions, all right? But I believe what he's saying is, I'm going to put something inside of you so that you could be a solution in the middle of the madness. And do y'all know we're in the middle of madness? But God's putting a solution inside of us. Something inside us to be a solution in the madness. I believe our role in the end times is don't be a statistic, but be a solution. Come on, be a solution. Let's be light in the midst of the darkness. So maybe God's speaking this, go all in. Why not go all in? Instead of just doing a little religion thing, why don't we just jump all in and say, God, I'm here. I'm yours. I commit my, there's no better decision you can make than to go all in. Or God's saying, give God your best. Maybe this is what God's speaking. Give God your best. You know, not half-hearted. Go all in. I mean, that's the only way you're going to know how to really swim is go all in. You're not going to learn in the ankle-deep water. Y'all don't make me give an analogy from my illustration from my vacation. my dog. I was. We took our dog out into the inlet down in water down in Florida, where they allow dogs to go. And I waited out far enough. I took my little black poodle dog. Okay, and he just a miniature poodle. If you can envision this, and I took him way out into the ocean, and I just dropped him. And at first he's like, "Daddy, get me! Daddy, get me!" And finally, had my son's on the shore. You know. Trying to, and there wasn't a lot of waves, y'all. He wasn't like, you know, one of those surfing, body surfing dogs, okay? It was just calm. But I set him down, and he just a paddling. Guess what? I had to get him out deep enough for him to learn how to swim. Cool thing is, when you pick them up, their feet are still going. It's like a, you know, like a battery operated anyway. You had to been there. But come on, if you're going to go, you got to go all in. And that's where it becomes fun. And then when you give God your best, then I believe God wants us to then make a difference. Make a difference. Come on, around here, we want people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and then once you know your purpose, come on, together we're going to make a difference. So what are we saying here today? And that is this, and that is that we need a posture or an attitude where we're saying, speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. This is a blank for you to fill in. Can we fill this in, not just in pencil, but from our heart? Can we say, I'm open to hear? I'm open to hear. From a message I spoke on last Sunday, from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9, Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Oh, as a pastor, I want to lead you into a dynamic relationship that before we respond to this world and the things happening around us, that we pause and that we listen, that we allow God to speak so that wherever we find ourselves, we're able to respond. Come on. I mean, don't just show up at work just to do a job at work and go home, punch the time clock and go home and then get up and do the same thing again. But walk into that job knowing that God has set you in that environment for a reason, and be sensitive to God and allow him to speak to you and use you in that situation. When you walk into the classroom, you're not there just to hear a teacher teach about history or English or whatever, but you're there to make a difference. And God's placed you in such a strategic place and a strategic time that if we pause and listen to his voice, those around us, they're hurting people all around us that need to hear about Jesus, and we can be an instrument that God can use to make a difference in our time. Come on, everybody. For those of you that don't know, I'm a bivocational pastor. I also work for the post office. Don't judge me. I'm a little postal, but I'm harmless, okay? And so I work uptown. I'm riding the light rail to work. On the light rail, I find out that I'm in the middle of some environment at times. I'm in the middle of some environment. I was actually, yesterday, or day before, I was standing on the platform about to come home. And there was a couple of ladies that came up to me and began to talk with me about, how do you know which way is UNC Charlotte? And I said, well, UNC Charlotte's that way. But they weren't from the area. They weren't oriented. So I began to talk with them. And as I talked with them, I talked with them all the way to UNC Charlotte. They heard all about Cross Point, everybody. They heard all about this area. They heard all about UNC Charlotte. They heard about the marching band. They heard about everything in this area. I had the opportunity to engage them in conversation. Can I tell you, God gives us opportunities everywhere we go. I've been in the midst of some situations, and you have too, where you're surrounded by darkness, and you can be a light, not just to give directions to which way the light rail's going, but get the direction of life. Come on, to help somebody in need. My wife and I just the other day, we were on vacation. God, by the way, God doesn't take vacation. We do, but God doesn't. You know, he uses us everywhere we go. I actually have a sign on me everywhere I go that says, talk to me, tell me your life story. My family's like waiting for me, and I'm in the gift shop, and somebody's still pouring out their life to me, and I don't know. I just, maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's a curse. I'm not sure, but anyway, we were in an elevator on vacation, and there was a lady that we began to talk with, and we knew her, and she began to cry, and we weren't at her floor yet, okay? But I said, I tell you, I think you need to step out here, and let's have a word of prayer. And right there in the middle of the hallway, we're there with her arms around her, just praying for her, and she's crying. Let me tell you something. God can use us wherever he places us. We've just got to be open and willing to hear his voice and let him use us. Can I get a good amen? And by the way, we're in a, my son's saying, watch the clock, and I'm going to close it. But can I tell you, we're in a hurting world. We're in a hurting world. And my response to a hurting world is not shake my finger at them. The Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. I don't embrace everything the world's doing, but I'm going to love the world. There's a difference, okay? I understand God's got a standard, but I'm going to love them. I was surrounded with some things yesterday on my commute home, and I felt like crying. I heard conversations around me that I knew grieved the heart of God, and they had it all wrong. They had it all wrong. It was all based on feelings and emotion and nothing to do with what was reality. Some of the discussion was about the Ten Commandments. And I'm thinking, oh, God. And I just began to text my family. And I said, the world lies in darkness and confusion. And I said, oh, God, help us to reach this world. Some of it followed all the way to UNC Charlotte and got off. Some of it was students. And I got off. And when I got home, I was so upset. I know you think I'm a little weird, but I was so upset. I had to lay down for a good hour or two before eating. I told my wife, I just can't right now. Because I was grieved with things that I said, I don't know how, but somehow we've got to impact UNC Charlotte. We've got to impact this campus. We've got to impact this city. Come on, God, help us to impact the world for the cause of Christ and make a difference. Amen. I just need to share with that. Let me let you write this last one down here, and that is, I'm eager to respond. Not only do we need to hear, but we need to respond. I'm eager to respond. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. Are we willing to listen to his voice and respond? Would you just bow your heads with me right now? God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives and for speaking to us even today. I believe, God, you've spoken things that I haven't even spoken, even while I'm speaking, into hearts. Help us to hear. Help us to be open to hear and eager to respond, because everything you have for us is good. God, help us, Lord, to be tuned in to your voice. And give us the courage to respond. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I do need to make a decision today. I do need to take a next step. I do need to commit my life. Maybe there's an area of your life it needs to be completely surrendered. Can I tell you the best decision you'll ever make is to fully surrender your life to God. Maybe he's on your list, but he's not at the top of your list. And you're saying today, I need to put him at the top of my list. And that's really what salvation is all about. It's putting him at the top of the list to reflect that he's the Lord of your life. I want to help simply lead you in a prayer to do that this morning. If you're watching online or you're here in the house today, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I'm simply right where you're seated, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just going to allow you to pray this prayer with me and lead you in this relationship. If that's you today, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you indicate that right now just by boldly lifting up your hand? Come on, just lift it high. Amen. Good job, good job, good job. Awesome. All right, you can slip those hands back down. I want to just allow you to pray with me today this prayer of just simply surrendering. I'm just going to help you with the words, but all you've got to do is mean it. But right where you're seated today, watching online or in the house, pray something like this with me. And I just encourage everybody to pray this out loud. Just allow those that need to pray. Just pray it from your heart or whisper this out. But just pray this. Come on, pray this out loud. Just say, God, thank you today for your voice that's speaking to me today. God, today I thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for me, to pay for all of my debts, all my mistakes, and yes, all my sins. Forgive me for going my way. Today I accept you, and I want to follow you. I invite you to come into my heart. Make me brand new on the inside. Today I choose to follow you. I not only believe in you, but by your help I'm going to follow you. Come on, say this. Today I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. I celebrate with them the best decision that they've ever made. God, I pray day by day they learn to hear your voice. They learn the joy of following you. They enjoy the fulfillment of having that personal day by day, moment by moment relationship with you, God. I pray you be near, dear, and close to them, God. I pray as a church, help us, Lord, to be light, to be salt, to be your hands, to be your feet to this world, to hear your voice and then be an instrument in this world to make a difference. God, for all that's accomplished, we give you all the credit and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody say, amen.